love it when we worship God like that. It's a tremendous time. Actually, I didn't read out the praise reports, but there were a few praise reports there. I want to thank God for a lovely new home and all the help Kingdom Faith Church gave in the move. That's Sharon, I know. Amen. Wonderful. I want to thank God because nothing is too big or too small for his faithful attention. That's a general. Obviously, it means a lot to the person that wrote it. And another praise report. After prayer last Sunday morning, my strength and energy levels returned fully. Isn't that great? My strength and energy levels came straight up. You know, God is able. Sometimes I think we limit him with our prayers and our expectations. But when we hear a praise report like that, it's like it should encourage us to say, you know, if you're feeling a little tired this morning, God is able to completely change your energy level. Amen. Well, I need that. Do you need that? I need always God to change my energy levels because I know I get a little bit tired at times. Anybody in the room ever feel a little tired? God is able to strengthen. And this morning is really a message about God's ability to make us strong and his actual call on us as his people to be strong. To not be weak. Now, I know that in ourselves we're weak, but he does not want us to stay weak. He wants us to receive strength. And one of the main things I've been praying for us as a church this week is that God would strengthen us. He will strengthen. Because we're coming together and worshipping him and serving God where we live and work in our families and communities. And we need to do life strong. Amen. In the Lord. Amen. And the power of his might. We need to live out our days in strength. There is a wonderful promise in scripture. You can have it if you want it. Do you want it? As your days, so shall your strength be.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I love that. Not as your days, you'll get weaker and weaker, but as your days, so shall your strength be. Why? Because it's God himself who gives us strength. And strength comes in different ways from the Lord, either directly through prayer and praying for the Spirit to strengthen us in our inner man, in our spirit, because that's where the Holy Spirit lives, and he can strengthen us just by his Spirit as we pray. We can also pray in tongues. That will build us up on the inside, and we will receive that strength that will give life to our bodies and life, really the energy of God. But another way that strength comes is through his word. You remember when Jesus spoke about his words to his people. He said, my words are spirit and they are life. And God himself is spirit. And that's why he first of all brings life into your spirit or your heart. He renews your mind, but we receive strength spiritually to be strong. And I believe this morning God is going to bring strength to his people. To you as you listen to his word. So that spirit, the life of God, divine life will come into your spirit. And you will be able to be strong and strong in the faith. It is important to the Lord that his people are continually strengthened to live strong in the power of his might. And one of the illustrations God gave me as I was preparing was, and some of you are going to come and educate me about this later, because you know very well I don't know. But that's okay. I know enough to be able to use it as an example. Turbocharged. Do you know what turbocharged means? It means to make more powerful fast or exciting. That's one of the definitions. Some of you look like you could do with a bit of fast and exciting. But we definitely all qualify for the more powerful. Okay? Injected, I love this one. Turbocharged, injected with extra energy and force. Imagine, as you're sitting listening to the word this morning, God is going to inject you with extra energy and force. Because that's what I believe he said he's going to do. It's not just, he doesn't just want to say something, he wants to actually do that. And I love the thought of being injected by God with extra energy and force to be made more powerful, stronger in the Lord. And a turbo engine, and this is all I know. This is I'm maxing out on my knowledge right here. All I know is that when the turbo kicks in, there is a rush of air into the engine so that greater output comes out. That's all I need to know. And God, Jesus said, all scripture is God breathed, carries the breath of God. So you can have a rush of air through the word of God into your spirit this morning. To make you go stronger, faster, get the work done easier in a way, with extra energy and force. And scripture speaks about being filled with this incomparably great power. See, it's resurrection power. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So you might feel a bit dead in some areas at the moment, which means without any energy, not fast or exciting. It might mean that you have no strength. But God is able, his incomparably great power towards us who believe. We've been singing, we believe in Jesus this morning. He is our ability to live life strong. Just say it over your own life. God is my ability to live life strong. I'm not going to do life weak. I'm going to do life strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Oh, faith confession is part of our faith. It's who we are as God's people. We speak faith. And Isaiah, let's turn to Isaiah 43. Some great verses here, which some of you probably have memorized over the years. But it's not your memory I'm after. It's the breath, the power of God's word and spirit coming into your spirit. I'm not going for your mind, although that would do you a whole lot of good if it was renewed. But I'm going for the word of God coming into your spirit, like the breath. God going, and we all go, ha! And these words then that might be in your memory will carry fresh life to you today through his power. Now, Isaiah 43, God is actually speaking to a people who are facing great challenge, his people. And they're facing a lot of challenges and trials. And he knows that our lives are never going to be without some kind of trial or trouble happening. Jesus actually said that in this world you will have many troubles, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And there is a promise in Psalm 34 that says, this poor man cried out to the Lord in his trouble, and the Lord delivered him out of them all. So while we may go through trials and trouble, there is an amazing need for us to receive strength and power through the promises of God, so that as we go through strong, full of energy, full of power, and are brought out, delivered miraculously out of those troubles. It's normal Christian life to have trouble. Tell somebody next to you something you didn't really want to hear, but you know is true. It's normal to go through difficult times, especially when you are a person of destiny and we're becoming more and more a church who are united in purpose to serve the Lord. The attacks will go a little bit up. The enemy has upped the ante. And that means we need to up the strength to be strong in the Lord before we even do anything. Ephesians says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And so this morning is all about God's intention to do something so powerful, something you can't see or maybe even feel, but to do something in your spirit this morning that will make you stand up, be strong, be courageous, and say, hey, I'm serving a God who is able not only to protect me in this, but to bring me out the other side so that everybody can see what a great God I follow and serve. Now, God speaks, and he speaks tenderly. He starts off with his compassion and love he has for his people. And he speaks of his favor and goodwill. Let me just speak the word now. This is the Lord speaking. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob. He who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you're precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. This would go in the bracket of the exceedingly great and precious promises that are ours in Christ Jesus. It's included, this great and precious word. And we need to know what this means for us as believers. What it actually means to have his presence and have his promises in seasons that are more difficult than others. Whether you're in one or not at the moment, I need to be able to say to you, you will experience it if you're not experiencing it now. And we need to be equipped with strength and power. And there may be people here listening today that are in a serious trial. And that is God is actually speaking to you very directly this morning to help you to overcome and bring you out of those things that he knows that you are in. And he loves you. And I love this compassion and this favor that God is communicating. He's speaking good news. It is good news that you won't be burned. It is good news you won't drown. That's what I call good news in trouble. Anybody in trouble? This is the good news. You will not be burned and you won't be sunk. That's summary of what God is saying. That is the good news. But I need to be able to say, beloved, it matters how you hear. Because good news is something that can be preached to everyone. And in Hebrews it speaks about the good news was preached to the whole nation of Israel. But it wasn't of any value to some people because they didn't actually use their faith in what they were hearing. And so they didn't enter in to the reality of those promises because they didn't mix what they heard with faith. That's why I'm going to encourage you right from the outset, as you're listening to this, I won't be burned and I won't be sunk, to say, that's me. I believe I'm never going under.
Amen.
I believe the devil can't cancel my life. I believe that the Lord will bring me through. That this won't even hurt me. It'll actually work for me. Because everything will work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. I am so excited about that. Why? Because I believe it. And that's the difference. You can be hearing this morning at the mental level, but I'm asking you to hear with the heart and to actually say, I'm going to take that because God says it. If God promises that, that's enough for me. He's faithful to his word and to fulfill every word he speaks. My job is to just believe it. And I love what Pastor Andy said, not if, but just I trust. I believe it. There's no ifs about this. It's a truth that I can base my whole life on. As we believe, you know, it's like that turbocharge kicks in. Turbocharge is always available. God is always all-powerful in you. But the turbo kicks in when we believe. The moment we say, I believe, I accept your word, power comes in to give us more energy and more force and the accomplishing power of God to fulfill his word. And he starts by saying, I made you. I'm your creator. Love that. We're not self-made. We're God-made. And you are a miracle of God's creation. Satan cannot create. Only God creates. No other can compare with the greatness of our God. He made all things. All things were made by him, the Word of God. He spoke and it came into being. You were made by God. But then it says, I formed you, but don't fear because I've redeemed you. To be redeemed, you're not just created, but you've been redeemed. That means you have been purchased or bought out of slavery, out of another owner. Someone else used to own you, but now God bought you. And you are now owned. So you're made by God, but you're also bought by him. And there's a wonderful story that has been around probably for many, many years about a boy who, to illustrate redemption, being redeemed. And a little boy made a boat. This is the story. And he made this little sailboat. And put a little stick up for the sail and got some mum's material to make a sail. And he decided to try out his boat. So he went to the place where there was water and he just gently pushed it out. But it caught, as it went, it caught, the wind caught it. And he actually watched his little boat sail downstream to a place where he could no longer see it anymore. And so that boat that he made was lost, a bit like you. God created you, but you were lost in sin and Satan's power. He had the rights to ownership, but sin and Satan came in, and you were lost. One day the little boy was walking past a shop, and in the shop window, he saw his boat. And he walked into the shop and he said to the guy behind the till, he said, that's my boat. I made it. And he said, well, you can't have it. You'll have to pay for it. I don't know. It's yours. It belongs to me currently. And that's what Satan was like with your life. You were owned, bought by Satan because of sin. And the little boy said, how much money will it take to buy that back? And he didn't have the money, so he went home and asked Mum for the money, gathered together enough money, and went back to the shop and said, "Here, paid in full." And basically, he paid for that twice-owned boat. It belonged to him in the first place. He made it, but then he bought it back because he lost it. And that's Jesus. That's what Jesus sees. He lovingly made you, but he bought you back. And he paid with the greatest price there is, and that's with his precious blood. So, we are God's workmanship, and in New Testament language, we're God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus. We're made by him, but we're born of God. When we receive Jesus Christ, we become a new person, a completely new person. The old is gone, and the new has come. And we are born of God by his Spirit, through his word, and we become this son of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We actually are all, Scripture says, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And that's an important understanding. People say, well, I'm a daughter of God. You can say that if you like, but it's not kind of biblical teaching, because biblical teaching is, you may be female, which some of us are here, and we celebrate that. I'm not doing that thing. There are male and female. Yes? But in Christ, there's neither male nor female, which means the new creation is born as a son, because a son has the rights of the full inheritance. Hello? That's what that means. I'm a son of God, and I never mind saying that as a woman, because I know what it means. And I don't want to diminish my inheritance, because it's all mine in Christ. I have a rich inheritance. Amen. So I'm born of God. And God has become my father. And he's speaking as a father. He's saying, I've summoned you by name. I love that. I've called you by name. Whatever your name is, he called it. And he said, I want you with me. Like Jesus, when he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he said, come, follow me. You've been called by, he knows you by name. And he called you to be a follower. And he called you to be a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So this sets the scene of ownership, which is really important when you're going through trouble. God made me. He paid for me. I'm his. Amen. Whose responsibility am I? Amen. You know when you walk around and you see a child running around, you say, whose child is that? Yeah. You're looking for the parent, aren't you? Like, either it's dangerous or it's not good. And you're going, whose child is that? You're looking for a parent to actually take care of that child. Well, whose child are you? Who takes care of you? God is in the business of taking care of his children. He loves to care for you. And he's speaking here with tones of compassion. He's setting the scene of value, because often when we go through trouble, the enemy uses negative thoughts to make us think we are not valuable to God. When we go through a difficult time, it makes us think, why me? Is anybody? Why is this happening to me? Why doesn't this work for me? And God wants us to be strong in our value to him. Strong that he loves us and will take care of us. We are called, God's people are called, his own special people. Or in the Old Testament, we're called his treasured possession. To God, the church is his treasured possession. we're distinguished above all peoples of the world. Different, because we're the sons of God. We're in the family. Now, God loves the whole world, but he says, but they're my treasure. They're special. He has a reserved special for you. Isn't that brilliant? Loves everybody, but reserved special. Just like a guy or a girl who teaches a young woman, a man, teaches children, loves children, probably loves working, well, trust they do, working with children. And, loves them all. But when they get home, that's my boy. And that's how God sees us. He loves everyone, but family is a bit different in God's mind. Yes! Doesn't that give you value? So that whenever you go through something in your family, financially, at work, it doesn't matter what it is, with a challenge to your health, God's saying, you just need to set the scene of who you are so that you know how important you are to me. God absolutely loves his church. He loves his people. And that means you in Christ. Not with all your rubbish and sin, but he loves you in Christ. And he loved you so much he brought you back. But now you're his. You belong to him. So he sets the scene of value and love and honor, really. We're honored to be called by name. God, that God should call me. I can never get over that. What? You mean me? A nobody? A nothing? You know, not many wise, look around you. Not many noble, look around you. Not many great, but he must have loved us to pick us. Hello, anyone? And I'm like, I am so, my value, the value of my life is based on how God sees me. Not how other people see me or tell me, but it's how God and what he sees. And it's, if you're going through a hard time of trouble with someone who's always talking you down, get to a place where you can't be talked down because you trust in how God sees you. And you never let go of that vision, even if you go through a difficult time. He says, don't fear. Why? Because I am with you. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. Whatever he did in Scripture, you can see it. He is available to do today. Any miracle, any absolute corker that you read of, if it happened there, he's the same God today and forever. He hasn't changed in his ability to get his people out of very, very tight spots. Thank you, Jesus. Doesn't matter what you're in, God is with you, and he is for you, and he will bring you through it.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever it is, God is able, and God has the power to do it. So we've seen we won't go under, nor will we be burned. And naturally speaking, if you think of the Israelites going through the Red Sea. I mean, to actually face the Red Sea, it's like, this doesn't look good. And sometimes situations in our lives, they just come up, and it's like, that doesn't look good. But God says to walk by faith, to actually keep walking with him. And as we trust him, situations, he'll break through and change everything. As we walk by faith. And so there is never a situation that God cannot or doesn't want to deliver his people out of and into victory. I know I'm talking to people who really need this today. If I could just flick over to Daniel, because that speaks of fire. Because Daniel was chucked into a fiery furnace. Now, Daniel, historically, you know, previous to this, had been a young man that had been taken from his family and from his country into a foreign land, and he was a worshiper of God. He honored God, and he and his friends, the three of them, they actually stood in an ungodly culture, an unbelieving culture, and said, I'm going to trust God. Even if I don't have the same diet as them, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to be stronger. Everything about Daniel's life was, I'm going to honor God. Every situation, I'm going to honor God. This happened, I'm going to honor God. And in this particular situation, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, had built this golden image, a statue. And this, you know, was actually probably his own pride. I'm going to make an idol so big, so shining, full of gold, and I'm going to make everybody worship it. So basically, I can control people, even their worship. So doesn't Satan want to do that? Control people, even your worship. I can control you. I'll get you even at worship point, at your relationship with God, and you're going to have to bow down to this. And if you didn't bow, it wasn't going to be good. And Daniel and his friends refused to bow in worship. And Nebuchadnezzar had them round and said, by the way, guys, if you don't, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, remember the promise. I will be with you. It will not burn you. And this is a real, bona fide, troubling situation. Not a story. A real, troubling situation. Have you ever stood near a fiery furnace? Have you even gone to a blacksmith's or a... If you've stood where they're making glass, blowing glass, flip, it's white hot. It's like you can't get near and you feel your cheeks going. Do you? I'm the wrong color. I wish I was your color. But my cheeks go horribly red and when they start to get hot and I want to move away. So basically, they were going to be destroyed, naturally speaking, by this trouble. And so it's not imagined, it's real. And there are many times in our life where we're not imagining it. It's real. You know, faith isn't all about kind of escapism. Get me out of here, Scotty. I'll go to glory. It's about really having a real God who is with us and will deliver us out of it. That's what it's about. And so there's this white-hot heat prepared for Daniel and his friends. But I want to just cut in Daniel 3, verse 16. And Daniel was called something different because they wanted to call him something different. But God called him Daniel, which is how we'll stick to it. It's amazing. God calls you something different to everybody else. Holy, righteous, sons of God. He calls you completely different to how everybody else calls you. Children of God, more than conquerors. Come on. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, saying, you know, no God will be able to save you. And you know all the trouble that comes at you is to raise the thought pattern in your head that God can't get you out of this. You'll have to try and work it out yourself. Just try and get through. And Nebuchadnezzar said, basically, God can't get you out of this fiery furnace. You're going to be thrown into it if you don't worship. And he actually replied, King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. I'm so proud of these guys. Are you? When you read this, doesn't it make you want to stand up? I feel we should stand. We're in the presence of greatness as we're listening to this. Right, here we go. Are we listening? We don't have to defend ourselves for you in this matter of the furnace and worship. No, no worries. No worries, mate. I think they're Australian, really. They were that casual. Faith makes you so stress-free, you're casual. Oh, we don't have to answer you. Like an Aussie. None of this stressed English. No, no. No, not us. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, if we have to go through this, if you do chuck us in, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. The God we serve. I'm a servant of God. I serve God. He's able to deliver me from this. And I love this. Not able. He will. So actually, this is a faith confession. Here we go. Are we ready? This is before it's happened. Furnace is burning. King says this is what's going to happen. He looks at that trouble and says, God's able. And he will deliver me. How real and how awesome is that? God is able. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. You see, your majesty at this point is not our majesty. It's actually the leader in this situation who wanted to control these guys and want to own them. But they weren't for being owned. They said, no, we belong to God. And he is the one we serve. And no threats could stop them speaking faith, even when it was under fire. You know, sometimes the best thing you can do is zip it. Because you know when you're facing trouble, you know what you want to do? Talk about it, describe it, go over it in your head. Wake up at night thinking about it. And then you want to go and tell everybody what trouble you're in. You want somebody to talk to about your trouble. Zip it. God is able. Open your mouth and say this. God is able. Because in the end, faith works through confession. Jesus said, you will have. When you say to this mountain, move. Believe in your heart. It's got to start in your heart. But you speak it. You're speaking it directly to that furnace. Oh gosh, the faith to speak to furnaces. Isn't that amazing? And it's actually, you will have what you say, Jesus says. Are you listening this morning, beloved church of Jesus Christ? First of all, we need to see a faith and a speaking. This is before anything miraculous happened. And basically, because they still stood, Nebuchadnezzar made the furnace 7 times hotter. And he kind of took these men, bound them up, and with lots of soldiers, he became very angry, by the way. And sometimes bosses do. When you won't serve beyond what's right, but you're here to serve God. How many of you had to speak to a boss about not working on Sundays? That is one of the things. Because you're a person of principle. You see, Daniel was a person of principle. He knew what he was before he was in the fire. He said, I'm a man of God. I worship God. That's where you'll find me. On a Sunday, you won't find me working. Except in exceptional circumstances, this is who I am. So when the trouble comes, you will not be able to move me because I'm a person of conviction. I serve God. And many of you have had to stand and you made your boss mad. Has anybody ever made a boss mad to say, I don't work on Sundays? Yeah, quite a few of you. Because you're saying, I'm honoring God. I'm a person who is to be with God's people. It's the only time I can actually demonstrate in this particular way that I'm set apart and a worshiper of God. In this way. Together. We worship God on our own, of course. But this is the way. And I love it. You know, Daniel was polite. And Peter says, you're never to be rude in your answers. No, I'm not working. Get out. Get up. You know, getting angry. He's saying, well, sir, it's a no. That's it. Sir, it's a no. You can't have that principle. You're not taking my foundation. This is where I stand. It's who I am as a man of God. Isn't that brilliant? So, I just wanted you to kind of pan out. We're on a movie scene quite right now, and we're panning out. We're looking at all the angels in heaven. And just imagine the angels listening to this, going, oh, we've got a believer. Hang on, everybody. Somebody's facing an awful lot of trouble, and they're going, oh, God is able. He will deliver us. And they're going, tell you what, let's go for a front row seat. Because this is where God moves. Because where there's faith, God moves. Come on. I just need to get in on a front row seat. Well, let's have a look what God's going to do now. Because Daniel is standing in faith. I bet all of heaven was going, awesome. Lord, this is what you're going to do now. This is going to be really exciting. Because it all gets exciting when we have believers. Life is so exciting for believers. Especially believers in trouble. Especially. Oh, isn't it amazing? So they're saying, did you hear that? Daniel trusts God. Awesome. We've got one. Imagine what we could do if we were all in this position. Imagine, you know, I trust that it won't happen. But if there ever comes a day that we will be persecuted for meeting together, where will you be? May God's grace and faith fill my heart so much that I'll be where I'm called to be, worshipping God as a witness. And not moved by what I feel or see, but moved by what I believe. What a conviction and what faith. You see, Daniel's heart was already set on pilgrimage. I'm going to follow Jesus. I've followed him through many trials and difficulties, and I've followed him in the good times when it's all been sunshine and nothing but one miracle after another. But I've followed him when I've seen no miracles, I've seen no provision, I've seen very little things that I'm believing for happen. I've set my heart on pilgrimage. Blessed is the man whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Because that person is in a wonderful place to actually see a miraculous deliverance from God. I don't know if this is speaking to you this morning, but God wants us to be strong. And it is actually strong in his presence and his promises so that we stand no matter what is going on and saying, God is able. And he will deliver me out of this. So seven times hotter, and I'm just going to abbreviate, but the king's command, verse 22, was so urgent, the furnace so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up... You know, other people will die even getting close to what we can go through. Okay, I feel almost African-American running up and down here. Other people won't survive what we can do. Other people won't survive what we can go through. The soldiers died on the way up. It wasn't even in the furnace. They keeled over. You know, there's a dynamic of faith in your life that will be like a shield. It's called a shield of faith. Taking up the shield of faith by which you can extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. You can put out the fire. Your faith can put out the fire. It says in Hebrews 11:34, by faith they quenched the fire. By faith they quenched the fire. By faith they put out the problem. And so they were thrown in, they were bound, and they fell into the furnace. And then King Nebuchadnezzar, who'd taken the front seat, although the angels were there, I'm sure. Verse 24. King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement. He must have been sitting down watching this for entertainment. The enemy is not going to be entertained by the trouble we're in. Come on. He's not going to mock our God. Our God is faithful. He is able to deliver his people out of all our trouble. And he's sitting there and he has to stand up. I love this. Imagine him sitting down. He gets to his feet in amazement and he asks his advisors. He said, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw it into that fire? He said, look, I see four. As a manifestation of Jesus. In the fire, Jesus is seen. In ways he will never be seen. This is the eternal one, the God who was and is to come. But his presence is there. You see, he is with you always. But he particularly manifests where there's been faith in action and trust in him. He shows up in such a way that even unbelievers see that Jesus is all powerful and alive. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar stood up and said, wowzers! Somebody else is with them, but not only that, they're all walking around free. So what the enemy had tried to bind them in, actually they got freed up in. And they were unharmed. And when they came out, it says they kind of saw. They did a bit of an analysis, which the world will do when the Lord delivers you out of your trouble. The world will look at it and go, well, you're not hurt. You don't even smell a fire. You've still got a money code. Smelling sweet. This guy hasn't even lost his Amani. It's on him. Why? Because Jesus is able to deliver us out of all. Isn't this an amazing insight to strengthen our hearts this morning? Yes. To give strength to the weary. Yes. To actually encourage the heart of those who are discouraged. That our God not only made us, he redeemed us. That's our value. We're sons of God. We're his children. And he loves us. But he says, you've got nothing to fear. Because I'm with you. You're not going to drown. I won't let you. Have you ever seen a parent stand by and watch their child go under? They're jumped in, aren't they? They're in. Saying, come on, let me pick you up. And God will lift up his people in trouble. And he will deliver the faithful. Those who stand and trust him. That no matter what happens to me, my God is able. And he will deliver me out of this all. You know, we pray, don't we? And sometimes he does take it away. I think... In some ways, if I was Daniel, I'd have rather not gone through it. Would you? If I'm honest, to actually use my faith to walk into that, well, he wasn't walking, he was thrown in. But I'd be like, I think my prayer might have been something like this, which I'm sure you've prayed. Take it away! Make the furnace go! Because I know you can. Have you ever been in trouble or going through a trial? And sometimes it's the kind of trouble that just keeps on coming. Not the big issues, but the lots of little. Has anybody ever been through that kind of season where it's lots of little things keep troubling you? And you want to pray, don't you? Get down on your knees and really cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, take it away. Take it away. And I'm like, funny the Lord didn't do that, isn't it, with his faith? Daniel was certainly in faith. But isn't it interesting that God didn't remove the furnace? Because I think actually, from this side reading the story, I get more faith and encouragement knowing that even though I know my God can take it away, when I see the keeping power of the presence, just the very presence of God, just because God is here, you know he is, don't you? He lives in you, Christ in you. Just because he's here, I can stand in wonder and amazement at what they were protected from. But then, when they came out, that the whole world will get to see a different story about the greatness of our God. And sometimes I think, you know, in trouble, and we're all a bit like it, myself included, I want out of this. And quick, the quicker the better, Jesus. But there is this promise, when you pass through, when you go through, when you walk through, what a wonderful promise. When I'm walking through situations that I know are not the will of God, God didn't send them, this trial is from Satan, but God will use this trial to test my faith, to prove it's genuine. And in it, do you know, if I will continue to walk, when I pass through, walk through the waters, they will not overwhelm you. I go through saying, it's not going to overwhelm me, this. It's not too much because Christ is in me. Nothing is too much for me because Jesus is my help and my strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as I believe, I get a turbocharge that will bring the force and the energy of God into my spirit to give me an overcoming faith with a shield up. That, you know what a shield of faith would have done to Daniel? I can't feel any. Can you feel the fire, boys? Are you hot? No, I'm just normal. Just normal. Normal temperature. It's like a normal temperature in here. That's what faith does. It actually stops the effect. Lift up the shield of faith. Keep the faith confession. Hold fast the good confession in trouble. And the God who is able will deliver you. And we have these promises that are sure and certain. When you pass through the waters, they will not sweep over you. When you go through the fire, it will not burn. Wonderful word of encouragement. But more than that, I believe the breath of God has been on his word to enter into your spirit this morning and bring a fresh power and grace into your heart. How many of you just want to say, yes, I'll take that, Lord. I'll take the power that has just come to me through your word. So let's stand up. Let's stand up together. Thank you, Jesus.